You're listening to another in-depth segment on KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7. I'm your host, Mike Rood, and I have with me again today Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And our special guest today is the Dakota County Assessor, Teresa Mischel.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me as well.
You're very welcome. In our earlier segment, we talked about basic processes of the county assessor's office. In this segment, I'd like to talk a little bit about how properties break out in the county as far as how many, what percentage of properties are this, that, and the other. What kind of information do you have for that?
So, you know, in Dakota County, if we look at the county in general, we have a very diverse property tax base. We call all the value accumulated in the county the tax base because that's what the levy, our tax dollars are spread across. And the valuation of your property and the classification of your property determines essentially your portion of that responsibility or the levy, you know, the burden for funding the levy. So in the county, residential properties makes up the largest percentage of our tax base. And if we look at residential properties, it's about 64% residential in our tax base. When you look at commercial industrial, that brings us up to, I should have printed this out larger. We're closer into that 20 to 25% range. You know, and then we look at our apartments. They're in that 7 to 8% range. And we have agricultural properties. Now, we have a lot of acreage in the county that is agricultural in nature.
Right.
However, from a valuation perspective, when you compare that to all the commercial, industrial, and residential market value across the county, agricultural is really a small portion of our tax base. Our agricultural property is about 2%.
So you got a lot of land tied up, but just a little bit of stuff we can assess from it.
Right, because that land is all unimproved.
Right.
It's cultivated. And there's also programs that farmers can enroll in that keeps their taxable market value low if they qualify mm-hmm. for these programs. Green Acres is one such program mm-hmm. where the land may be worth, let's say, $7,000, $8,000 per acre on the open market. However, from a taxation perspective, if they're enrolled in Green Acres and meet the qualifications for that program, they could have land that is somewhat less than that. Now, that difference is set by the Department of Revenue, so we don't have as much impact in what that difference is, but
right.
there still is a benefit to enter in these agricultural
yeah,
programs.
They're not paying the assessment on the $7,000 actual market value,
correct.
But something less than that as set by the Department of Revenue.
Correct.
You know, one of the things that I was going to say is mm-hmm. we know, and as we, you know, the county board just started its budget process recently, and we see the trends of where is our tax base going from it. You look at all the rooftops being built. How fast is that that pie chart kind of squeezing in the commercial and agriculture and that? So how many more how fast is the impact on residents and residential homes growing over the last couple of years?
So the economy has been, real estate economy has been very good, and that's what we're talking about mm-hmm. right now. Our tax base for the 19 assessment grew by nearly 8%.
Wow.
7.8%.
Okay.
So we had a very robust, a real estate market.
Right.
Each segment changes a little different. When I say segment, I mean the residential market segment or the commercial or yep. retail market segment or, you know, the agricultural. So every segment's a little different. So when those portions of our tax base change at different rates, it can have a shifting effect on our tax base.
Mm-hmm.
So when residential properties are growing at a greater rate than, say, our commercial industrial properties, more of that burden or that proportion falls on residential properties than on those other types.
Kind of an odd question then. Is there an optimal growth rate for each segment as looked at over the whole? Do you prefer maybe more growth in one segment over another, or how does that work?
I guess it depends on your perspective. You know, to maintain that proportion that so everybody's share of that that levy is the same. If every segment grew at the same rate, that's how that would be maintained. Mm-hmm. But that's just not the case in the real estate market.
No, of course not. How about from the commission's point of view? And that kind of goes to a larger question. Instead of just how are we covering the levy, but how are you steering the county wanting to grow as a total? Do you have an optimal growth rate for each segment?
Well, and we at the county really are very limited on planning and zoning, because in fact, unique to Dakota is that even our townships, they decide if they want to allow a new building permit or if they want to allow a business to move into the community. So we're somewhat limited at the county level. We're just kind of, quite frankly, lucky because we are so close to Minneapolis-St. Paul that we've been able to have low taxes, land to expand, and just a place where people want to live. And that's kind of been to our benefit why you're seeing so many rooftops going in. I would say that, you know, we don't really have... We'd love to be able to manipulate the market that way, but I don't think we can.
Well, not so much from a manipulation point, but just what would the commission see as the optimal growth of that as you try to steer the whole county into better prosperity?
I think we'd love to see our commercial industrial stay and maintain where it is, and not what's happening now is you're seeing more of the basis going on to residential and less on, on commercial and industrial, because one of the things is if we have commercial industrial growing in that means that people are not having to they can live and work in the same community or close to the same community, and you know, as both of us who get to do that, there is something to be said about being able to live and work in the same community and not have to be stuck in a car for half an hour or an hour, which, you know, many of our listeners either did do at one time or are doing as we speak.
Or they know someone,
yeah. So I think that's something that if we could be able to have that strong commercial industrial, that's really going to be, that's the goal of every level of government. When I was on the city council, our objectives was how do we somehow grow the CI, the commercial industrial, because as countywide the numbers are in the 60s, many of our communities like a Hastings and Farmington, they get closer to the 80s.
Yeah, 70. Hastings is 74% residential.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So you have the Hastings numbers there. I was just kind of going off of what I remembered. But I know that, you know, and community of Farmington that I represent as well is in a very similar situation that there are more homes than anything else. And that makes it a lot harder for, because you need to have a whole lot more homes to cover that police officer than you would to go and have a commercial or industrial property.
Right. Are there any communities that, I don't want to say lag, but that maybe need a fresher vision for development at all? Or do you even track that kind of thing? You know, we have these properties in Hastings that we're developing. Are there any communities that are kind of falling behind on that? And that, I don't want to sound accusatory at all, but just, you know, there's a wide range of things going on.
Yeah, as Commissioner Slavik said, it really is up to the economic development, maybe wishes of the city. And as assessors, we're really historians and just fact finders. So there's I'm sure, you know, we have statistics on our website that really show the value across all these usage types. So if anybody's interested, we have a lot of data on our website that can really answer that question.
I would talk a little bit about that one. I mean, it's pretty impressive what is actually on there. So every year, one of my things that I send out to a number of people who are interested, and you can actually go by neighborhood and say, I went up 7%, my neighbor next to me went up 4%, and this neighborhood went down. Or what you're seeing a lot of right now is actually commercial and industrial going down a little bit, because think of the, you know, what we buy, the online sales, the Amazons of the world, that's making commercial a lot harder to do. But residential, we're growing very much. Apartments are, with the vacancy rate, are going through the roof. So it's been... but you can see, and you go in every community and you can see where it's red and where it's green and where it's really dark green. And so just amazing information,
and that's
right
on
your fingertips.
And that's on the county website?
County website, dakotacounty.us, and you go into home and property?
There is home and property, but this is in the property information online. It's an interactive map.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you can turn on these layers. And it's a layer in that map for property information. And you can turn this layer on and it will show the colors as Commissioner was describing.
Excellent. How about for I'm looking at notes here. How about for the breakdown of new construction in the county?
Sure. The, you know, when I mentioned that the tax base grew, that's almost 8%. A portion of that is just a reflection of the efforts or impact of the market changes. Our real estate market is growing. We're an appreciating market now. And so of that, about 6% is market appreciation. The rest of that is new construction. So new improvements being constructed across the county that adds to our tax base. So you want to see a lot of growth.
Right.
So that your tax base is larger and you have more value to spread, you know, the levy and tax dollars across.
Okay. And I want to change gears just a little bit. I know we mentioned it previously, but I understand that you are moving on from the assessor position coming up soon.
Yes, September 2nd is the date that I will transition into the Deputy Director of Public Services in a Revenue Division. This is a Deputy Director position. I know many of your listeners might know Tom Novak, who is the Director of Public Service in a Revenue. He's been with the county for over 40 years, so shout out to Tom if you're
hey,
out there
Tom.
Listening. Hi, Tom. So I'm looking forward. It's a great opportunity. It's, you know, like I mentioned, I've worked with the county for 31 years in various capacities, and I'm really looking forward to broadening the work that I do across more departments. So in addition to assessing services, this position will work with property taxation and records. It will work with our service and license centers. It will work with our libraries, our elections officials. So it's a very diverse services that's provided within this division.
All right, so just broadening your horizons, basically.
We could say that.
You're listening to Community In-Depth with Mike Rood. I've got Commissioner Mike Slavik from Dakota County and County Tax Assessor Teresa Mitchell, who also has a few public service announcements that she would like to go over.
Sure. So with the close of the legislative session this year, there was a change that we want to make sure that we get the word out to veterans that might be affected by this. There is a provision, and since most of our listeners, or many of our listeners, might be in Hastings, we have 91 veterans in the city of Hastings that qualify for a program for veterans with disabilities. And what this does is it excludes a portion and a significant portion of the market value of your property if you qualify, and excludes it from taxation. So it's a definitely a beneficial benefit. I don't know if that's appropriate adjective for that, but so the change in this law was in the application date. So it wasn't a large change. This provision has existed for some years, but what this application deadline, it extends it to December 15th, actually. And so what this provides also for is a refund for any veterans with a disability in 2016 assessment and 2017 assessment, when the application date was July 1st. If they would have qualified with those the qualifications, they can apply for a refund. And we can go back to those taxes payable in 2017 and 2018 to refund that. So we're going to be working with our veteran service officer in Dakota County to try to identify the veterans in the county that may have the situation that.
And if veterans have any questions, they should contact that veteran service officer.
Yeah, or assessing services at 651-438-4200.
Okay.
And we'll definitely make sure that, because it's a significant benefit, and we want to make sure our veterans are aware that this program exists if they don't already.
Exactly. And there was another announcement that you had?
Yeah. So along with, you know, we want to provide information to taxpayers conveniently at their fingertips, and another service we want to provide conveniently is electronic value notices and tax statements. Right now, the county mails 140. This year, we mailed 142,000 tax statements and value notices in March. We have 11,000 of our taxpayers have signed up for electronic notices. So instead of getting it in their mailbox, they get it in their inbox, in their email.
Right.
And so it's a convenient way to save that information electronically. And hopefully it's more convenient for taxpayers as well. So we really want to encourage that. And the way you can sign up for that is, again, go to our website at www.dakotacounty.us And in the search box, just search electronic notices, and that will come up. And there's a simple link and form to fill out. And then the next time we do a mailing, you will receive it in your inbox instead of your mailbox.
We're doing our returns by electronic filing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should get our notices that way, too.
Absolutely. And whenever somebody purchases a home now, it used to be where when you would file for homestead, you would go in and bring your paperwork. They'd ask you, are you living in your new home? And you'd say yes, and then they go and cover it for you. There's now electronic homesteading on there, and there's even a box in there that you can click and say, I'd like my statements electronically. And I think that's why we're seeing some of the 33% increase in 1 year. And we just rolled this out a couple years ago, and it takes a while because people still like paper. But if it works there and you're not really looking at it anyways until you just go online and do that, this is a great opportunity to save taxpayers money.
Exactly. Postage, printing costs, all that kind of thing. As we're getting ready to wind up here, we just have a couple of minutes left, Mike. I'd like to open up the microphone for you. Anything else that's going on that we need to know about?
Let's see. I just said a little bit, we're now really starting to focus on our county budget for 2020, and we just had another one of our budget workshops recently, and that's why I thought it was fitting, as we use a lot of our data from the assessor's office to kind of get to where we're going to go for the upcoming year, and have had some really good discussion up to that point. So, you know, just stay tuned, and if there's some comments or questions that any of the listening audience has on kind of the direction of the county and what would be the right steps on that, I think that's now is a good time to be able to do that as we're shaping what the 2020 budget looks like.
And those workshops are open to the public. Looking for input, you're looking for people to come by provide commentary.
Well, they can do that at any time by reaching out to us.
Oh,
but
sure.
Every one of our meetings are open to the public and posted on the website. We do the county board meetings are always on camera, so you can be able to watch it from your home. But the workshops are on location in the conference room setting, but they are publicly noticed, and we are always willing to have someone. We do offer public comment if there would be that. And one of the things that we do as a county board is we do a 4-day budget workshop the first week of November.
Bring your sleeping bags.
the county board is there, and at that point, a lot of things have gone off the chopping block, and we're at the point of the county manager's recommended budget. And, you know, some interesting things this year, which is not out of the norm, but depending on how you look at it, every year there's about 5 to 10 million in requests of new employees and things on there that oftentimes hit the chopping block, and the county board never even sees them. So one of the requests that the board has had in the recent years is saying, we know that there's going to be tough decisions and things just can't happen, but we'd like to see what was on that list. So this was our real first year that we've been able to see, you know, what was all of the requests and that, and be able to know, you know, just because the county manager says this might be the great idea, we may have a different opinion and say this is a higher priority based on what our constituents have said.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA Radio. Once again, thank you for tuning in. I would like to thank my guest, Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik and County Assessor Teresa Mitchell. Thank you for coming in today, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.